Andy, first off, how much fun is it to come back to this tournament and come in with a different approach as the guy who took home the trophy last year and defending champ, and you know everyone's gunning for you?
Yeah, I definitely a little bit nervous, but you know, felt confident and kind of what I was doing going in, and just kind of the story today was the same as it's been all year. Just every single time I'm teeing it up, I just feel like I'm trying a new golf swing or trying something different, or just kind of not a lot of feeling of where the ball's going. And I'm putting, and the worst part is I'm putting great, and my short game's like dialed in, and I just don't know where the ball's going right now. It's a little bit frustrating trying to figure out where I'm supposed to be hitting it, because this is just kind of driving me crazy right now.
Well, you still came to the last hole tied for lead. Right. I know the last hole didn't go the way you wanted. Right. What happened? Just a matter on that approach shot, leaving it a little short.
No, I mean, it all was set up with that just brilliant drive off the tee there. You know, when you hit a three wood 60 yards off line to the right, about 240 yards in the air, and pop it up, you can't expect for much of the hole. But then from there, I mean, just when you compound the mistakes, when you hit it, you know, short right in the bunker where you're short sighting yourself, you have no chance to get up and down. That's just a bad play, and I can't make mistakes like that. Like, that's just dumb. There's just no better way to say it. It's just dumb.
Mm-hmm. Well, McRae seems to be a new home for an IPGA major championship.
Yeah.
How is this golf course playing? And if you can, I know you've been on the board. What brought the championship here?
I mean, the golf course is presented well. Obviously, it's a good test. It's a tough test. It, you know, it's got a lot of the feeling of how Ivanhoe did, where you don't really feel super comfortable on any one tee shot. But yeah, it's a strong golf course. The greens were in good shape. They're running nice, and I think it's a good suitable test. You know, obviously, with how busy golf is, it's been a challenge to get certain venues, and you know, this one's been a pretty good venue. First time we're doing it here, and so far I think it's pretty good.
You mentioned busy venues, and I know a lot of courses are slammed, and of course this time of year some of the help starts to go back to school and different things like that. One note that we saw was that it's the smallest field in about at least 20 years. Can you put your finger on anything in the section? It just that 8-9 years ago there was 165 guys out here. This year there's 106.
I mean, we've seen the same trend in our own tournament play. I think there's just the busy nature of the business, and you have, you know, much more challenged staffs where you're not able to get out. And with, I think every single guy I talked to were basically dodging an outing today, you know, and so to still have outings this deep into August, that was something you usually didn't see. Usually it was like, you know, maybe you have four outings in June, few in July, and that's it. And this is just kind of, again, unprecedented demand. And I think it's definitely taking a toll on guys, especially, you know, guys that are on the fence whether or not they want to play. You know, maybe this is their one day off for the month, or, you know, for a couple of weeks. So I kind of get it. I understand it. You know, I think tournament play is an extremely important part of kind of being a well-rounded professional. But at the same point, I get it. If you're taking care of everything at your club and it's completely taxing you out to where you're not able to prepare and for the championship like this, I totally get that too. So I think it's just the nature of the beast right now. It's definitely worrisome that we're, you know, not all fully staffed at our places and everything else. Like you were seeing 10 years ago, you know, it's, you know, guys were fighting for jobs that weren't necessarily great paying, but they were, you know, fighting for jobs. And now it's basically, if you're able to stand behind a counter, we'll give you a job. I mean, it's crazy what's happening in the golf business right now.
What's it say about Misswood? You were here. Frank Hohenadel's here. Mm-hmm. John Platt is here. And yeah, I'm sure Nicole Jarray is already standing in Ohio for the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And you got four staff professionals there playing in tournaments all week.
I mean, we're just a different beast. We're super fortunate. The way that we run things is just a lot different. Specialize in so many things. So I can't fault anybody. You know, I can't fault, and I can't compare anybody to what we have. We have something very different, and we have an ownership group that's very different. So it's just a little bit different operation. And so, you know, we definitely focus on play and like our professionals to be playing as many events as possible. And I guess it starts at the top with me and works its way down through the staff. So it's important to us.
Well, I got to believe that you can make up two shots in 2 days.
Absolutely. I mean, that was just dumb. That was one hole. You can do that on any hole out here. It can go any which way. I mean, just a dumb mistake like that, that's going to happen in 54 holes. So yeah, I'm feeling okay. I need to find something. I need to figure something out with golf swing, because it doesn't feel comfortable right now. So
Curtis, round one now in the books here at the Illinois PGA section, and tell us how this course that I don't believe has played home to a section major championship before held up for day one.
No, I think it was good. You know, I've never been up here to McRae ever. in all the junior tournaments I've played in Illinois and all the section stuff, I don't think I've ever played McRae. You know, today was kind of a first crack for me to take a look and see where everything is and how to play it. But yeah, I thought it was great. You know, they opened the doors to us to host this major. So we've got to tip our hats to the McRae Golf Club. And, you know, 3 unders leading, that's a good round of golf, but it didn't get away from anybody. So there's probably a vast number of people that have a chance to win this thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the scores, nobody really went super low, and there was a couple guys that seemed like they'd get hot, but they'd give it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And as a result, as you said, only 3 under par leading, and you're not that far back at even par. Tell us a little bit about your round.
Yeah, I'm only, you know, 3 back after day one, not playing competitive golf since the Illinois Open back when it was at White Eagle 3-4 weeks ago. I'll take it. It was enjoyable. I got to see my good buddy Travis for the first time this year. To have him back around is always makes me smile. So glad we got to play together, have a couple laughs today, hit some good shots, hit some bad shots. But, you know, I think the golf course changes so much throughout the round that, you know, people's strengths for the day will be great for some holes, but they're not going to be good for other holes. So I think that's why you see little runs and then kind of a fallback and then another little run and a fallback. So, you know, if the golf course stays as it is and the weather, I mean, the weather's unbelievable right now. If the weather stays where it is, I don't see it getting too far away from anybody. I think if somebody gets a 6 under, maybe 7, they got a good chance to win it.
Well, your good friend Travis Johns, who you just talked about from Medina, all of a sudden a couple of years ago, he won this championship, and he was just out there having a good time with his good friend Garrett Chassard from the Skokie Country Club, and then all of a sudden with 3 holes to play, an army of media and other officials came rolling up on him, and all of a sudden reality set in. Hey, I don't know how this happened. I was 5 back. Now I'm winning this tournament. I got to figure out how not to lose this tournament. But you made it sound like, did you get up here for a practice round or not? Did you play here at all before the tournament?
No, this was my first crack at it. It's still golf, right? Whether you're hitting X off the tee or you're hitting Y off the tee, you're hitting X into the green or Y into the green, it's still golf. There's 18 holes, 18 greens. And, you know, it definitely helps to know kind of where you want to be on these greens, because some of them are a little treacherous if you get in the wrong spots. But that's the way I look at it. You know, obviously as GM duties and my duties at the club, which come first, you know, I don't have a lot of time to sneak away and play a lot of golf, which is totally understandable. It's the choice of life that I've made. And I'm extremely happy to go around the first day at even par and throw the chips in the ring and see what happens.
Well, I know that you're here, of course. I'm looking at your hat with the Callaway logo on it. And as somebody who plays that equipment, I know they're putting out some good stuff. You can actually go out there and sometimes hit the ball pretty good with that stuff, even if you haven't had hours and hours to practice.
Yeah, I know. Listen, the Callaway team is phenomenal. You know, I was brought in many years ago by Mark Labiak, who was an ambassador for Callaway. And when I got to meet the guys and the team at Nationals and the local level, you know, it was a perfect fit for me. You know, they give me everything I need. And, you know, whether you play once or you play 500 times, as long as the stuff is what you need, you got a chance in everything you get into. So it's a great family. You know, I look at it as a family. And, you know, recently brought my good buddy Travis over to the family, and it's great. The company's fabulous, and looking forward to many years ahead with them.
Well, I know that you've had some success in these Illinois PGA majors over the years, and but there's still one more to go, and I think it's the one that's right outside the door here. What would it mean to complete that Grand Slam in your professional career here in the state of Illinois?
I'd be, you know, I don't know if life-changing, life-altering would make, you know, be the right. It would definitely tie up a lot of things that I've done in my career in Illinois. You know, I've done just about everything a professional can do, right? I've played internationally, played on the Canadian tour, played the nationwide tour, you know, other than playing in our, you know, our nation's championship, the U.S. Open. and a PGA championship through the National Club Pro Qualifier to win the fourth major would solidify me into a very, very happy, happy place. Because I don't know how many people have done it. I'm sure it's more than I think there is. But, you know, to be able to do that, to win those four different tournaments is, you know, I guess I could date myself and say, you know, it shows your longevity in the game or your, you know, lifelong journey through the game. But it would be just a cherry on the top for everything I've done in my career and my life. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't know if it's this week. I would bet against it if it was this week, just for the amount of golf I've played and the form that I believe my golf game is in. But you never know, right? You go out there, tee it up, you hit it, you find it, and you hit it again. And if you hit it less than the guy next to you, then I guess you deem the winner. But
well, Curtis, you've talked a little bit about your busy schedule, and I know that golf's really been busy for everybody in the business the last few years. At this time of year, too, sometimes staffs at clubs shrink because younger workers go back to high school, they go back to college, they have other things going on. And, you know, I'm sure it's tough for some guys to get away, but we're taking a look at the field and looking at some of the records. And it seems like it is the smallest event, smallest field size for this event going back at least 20 years. Is that a sign of how busy golf clubs are? Is it the dates, or is there something else where, you know, 9 years ago you had 165 guys in this field, and all of a sudden now you're down 60 players from that?
Yeah, no, I think it's a direct correlation to what we all have on our plates. You know, I stepped up and I've taken on a new role starting last October as a general manager at White Eagle. But even I look at my head pro and I look at my superintendent and I look at my food and beverage staff, you know, they're all struggling to find those people to help pull off a day at White Eagle. So I don't think it has anything to do with the dates. It doesn't have anything to do with the location. It doesn't have anything to do with time of year or whatever. It's just the business of golf has changed. And whether it's good or it's bad, there's nobody. This time of year is really tough for everybody, right? We lose all of our high school kids. We lose all of our college kids. And for whatever reason, the job market, everybody looks like they're hiring, but nobody can get anybody to hire. So I don't know where all the people went, you know, when they left in 2020 at the start of COVID. I don't know if they moved international or they're, you know, where they went or what they're doing, but there's, you know, finding people to help out and to jump in and run the help, run the business and run the operations and do the day-to-day grind. It's few and far between. And I don't know, I really thought it was going to change going into this year, but, you know, I'm scared it's never going to change. And I don't know where the people are, to be honest with you. I wish I did, because I could use a good army of them down at White Eagle.
Well, finally, tell us a little bit about White Eagle. You and I talked a little over a year ago. There was some plans on the table, yeah. and your club wants to do a lot of new things and find ways to become more of a year-round club for its membership and their guests, even up here in the north in the winter months. How are things progressing in that master planning stage for White Eagle? Especially now coming off another successful hosting of the Illinois Open.
Yeah, everything's great. You know, we are full throttle down. You know, we're plowing through everything. There's been some bumps and bruises and hurdles, but, you know, as everybody saw at the Illinois Open, the golf course is unbelievably good. The facilities are getting better every day. We're right on track. You know, this is year one and a half, I would say, for our 10-year plan. The new pickle paddle facility and the pool bar and restaurant have been phenomenal. We're really excited to see what happens this September when the paddle season begins and how much usage and enjoyment the membership has with that facility. You know, opening up in June 1 for the paddle courts is not the ideal time to open paddle courts in Chicago. You know, paddles is a September through March, April season. So we're excited to see September hit. Unfortunately, obviously, when September hits, it means the pool closes, cooler temperatures come, but I see the pool crowd transitioning right into become our paddle crowd. And, you know, like you said, it's a 12-month club with stuff going on every day for 365 days. You know, I was joking with my head professional, Tyler Keith, the other day. We closed on on July 25th, a Monday. That was the second day in the last 2.5 years that the golf course has been closed. So to look at that and to know for 730 days we've had 2 days of rest, it tells you where golf is, and it's in a really great spot, and we just need to find the people that are willing to jump in and help us keep pushing.